listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Karen Chua, as the Minister for the Prevention of Family and Sexual Violence, and of course as the Minister for Children, great to have you with us here on RCR. Can we first talk about OT, Oranga Tamariki, and your proposal to remove Section 7AA from the Act around Oranga Tamariki? Do you accept that your critics in Māoridom have any point at all about the removal of that clause, of that section?
Look, I understand the concern, but Section 7AA was part of the reason I stuck my hand up in the first place to come to Parliament to make changes within Oranga Tamariki, because I could see what was happening in my community and people I knew and how that section had really affected their lives, and that the damage and the unintended consequences of what that section of the Act was doing. So an example is a member that I know had a foster child in their care, and a few years later along came Oranga Tamariki to say, we've found some whānau when they were meant to be forever home for that young person. The only thing that saved the removal of that child from their home was them being able to find a sliver of Māori in their family tree. Nothing had changed. They were still the same people, the same caregivers. Their home was still the same. The only thing that had changed was the fact that they could find a little sliver of Māori in their whakapapa. I don't think that that's okay. I think we need to be very careful when we're making care decisions around our young people, and that they have stability and love around them. And the choices we're making when it comes to the care and protection needs to be done well, done right, and it needs to be based on their safety and best interest, not on their race or what their heritage is.
So what did you think of the outcome of the case involving, I think the documents or the court reporting said it was Baby Moana and the Smith family, the famous case in Hawke's Bay, I believe, last year, where a girl who had suffered terrible abuse in her early years of life was finally in a settled family environment. And then there was a move by Oranga Tamariki to take her away from that settled family environment. In the end, some kind of compromise was reached. What did you think of the outcome of that?
I mean, look, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for caregivers. It's not good for the family involved. And it sure as heck isn't good for the young person either. It just creates a whole lot of uncertainty for all these people, and we need to make sure that we're making the right care decisions. So this is around practice and around sending a clear message to anybody who's making decisions when it comes to the placement of young people in the care of Oranga Tamariki, that safety and well-being must be the first thing that they consider when they're making placements. But that doesn't necessarily mean that whānau or family can't be part of that consideration. But we must be doing this right. We can't have a forever home where a young person is settled, loved and cared for years, all of a sudden being displaced because that wasn't done properly in the first place for starters, but also based on the fact that it's on their ethnicity, not what's best for their well-being.
Well, I know many of your critics will say you are breaching the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi, and there are specific rights and protections, legal protections, for young Māori children. How do you respond to those criticisms?
All children deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, and all children deserve to be safe and loved. This is not to do with taking away Māori's rights to whakapapa or where they come from. That's really important. But what's also important is making sure that they're safe, that they're loved and that they're cared for. That is our job. Our job is to make sure that these young people are in a safe, loving home. And I think that whether you're Māori, non-Māori, any race, you should be treated with respect and be treated in a way where you are safe.
It seems for some years now, Minister, this particular government department, whether it be called Oranga Tamariki or Child, Youth and Family before that, it has not been the most functional of government departments. Is that fair comment?
So yes, I would agree. They don't have very much trust. Well, that's what the work that we've been doing within the restructure of Oranga Tamariki, making sure that I set the expectation that they get back to their core business, which is actually the care and protection of our young people. For far too long, Oranga Tamariki has tried to be everything to everybody, even back when they were child, youth and family. It doesn't work. They are not meeting their obligations for our young people when it comes to care and protection. And so that's why I've set that expectation that whatever funding that you receive must be going towards your core business and making sure that we are meeting the care standards for these young people. And it's a reset. Back to the basics.
What about people on the front line, the social workers? Have you got enough of them? Are you well enough staffed?
There's always been a problem with having enough frontline social workers. We also have the issue of resourcing the frontline services, and that was where the restructure was about as well, making sure that the money we're spending is actually helping the frontline and resourcing them to be able to do their job and do their job well. And that has not been done well in the past, and frontline are overworked, overstaffed, have massive caseloads, and they actually need the tools to do their job, and that's part of what the restructure was about. Getting rid of the duplication and roles in management, streamlining the team so that they're more efficient in the back office, so that we do have the funds to be able to resource the frontline better.
Do you think you're making any difference?
Oh, I would hope so. I think there's been a real shift with the way that Oranga Tamariki works with other agencies as well, making sure that police and Oranga Tamariki actually have a good working relationship. And I'm hearing some positive things around the way that they're working together now for the betterment of our young people, because I also work in, I also have a role in the youth justice space, making sure that our young people have consequences for their bad behaviour, but are also rehabilitated so they can have a goal of being a better contributing member to society.
But the statistics are still pretty gruesome, aren't they? What is it, a child dying in the care of someone supposedly looking after him or her? What is it, every 5 or 6 weeks?
Yeah, the statistics do show that about one every 5 weeks does pass away at the hands of somebody who is supposed to be caring and loving them. And we need to make sure that, like I said, when we're making placement decisions, that we are making the right decision where that child is safe and loved.
So are 70% of the children in OT's care still with their family? Is that the current number? And if there is so much danger to children, shouldn't that number be reduced?
I don't think it's whether it's a family placement or a non-family placement, but yes, 70%, around 70% of young people in care are in the care of their family or wider whānau. But what this is we need to be better when we're reacting to reports of concern when they come in. We get thousands of reports of concern. At any one time, we can have around 20,000 open cases of reports of concern that are being investigated. And at one time, and most times, we have around 4,500 kids that are actually in the care and custody of Oranga Tamariki. So this is big numbers of kids that have reports of concern, that have a concern about their safety, and we need to be resourcing that better on the front line so that we can do a better job making sure that they are safe when a report of concern comes in.
Well, Oranga Tamariki is essentially a ministry for children. Has ACT, as the party which often thinks outside the square and which comes up with some of the more, I would have said, progressive ideas in New Zealand politics, has ACT ever thought of a ministry for parenting or some kind of agency for parents? Because until we educate a good number of parents, we're never going to have a complete cohort of happy children, are we? Surely the responsibility lies with the parents, and if they are better educated about life, if they get better support, wouldn't it be much better for society if we could do something like that?
Yeah, and there is a lot of work that does go into prevention around family harm and around harm in the home. There's a lot of work, and I think that's where the bit of confusion lies, because there's a ministry for children, that it's only Oranga Tamariki that's responsible. It's a multi-agency approach, so MSD, police, health, Kaianga Ora, all those other agencies have a role to play when it comes to breaking the cycle of harm in our homes. And we do need to do better in that space, because ultimately the only person responsible for a young person ever dying at the hands of somebody or being hurt or harmed is the person that actually perpetrated that crime. Oranga Tamariki steps in at some of the worst moments of those children's lives. And is often picking up the pieces after the fact. But there are other agencies that do have a lot of involvement in the prevention of family harm.
All right, let's change tack here from Oranga Tamariki to the, they're called the military-style academies. Let's call them academies for youth offenders, perhaps with a little bit of military discipline in the design of the programs that these young people are doing. How is that progressing? Because I understand the first intake is well underway. Some are doing well, but others not so well. In fact, one or two have left already, haven't they? Couldn't cope.
So we had one young person that decided they didn't want to continue, and that's their right, because currently under the current legislation, they are able to stop the program when they like. Once we bring in the youth serious offender category, that won't be an option. It'll be a sentencing plan done by the courts based on their crimes, which would be, they would have had to have been convicted of crimes where they would have got a sentence of 10 years or more twice. So it's quite a high threshold. It's really serious offenders where we've tried everything beforehand. We've put them into programs that haven't worked. And this is an intense program to help them and guide them into being able to return to the community and keep the community safe and themselves safe.
So how long is the course, Karen?
So the current intake is 3 months in residence and 9 months out of residence. So there will be a wraparound service provided once they return back to their communities. All the young people are assessed when they start the program for any needs that they have, whether it be drug and alcohol addiction, whether it be working with their family before they go back home, or whether it's finding a placement that isn't family. It all depends on what the young person's needs are when they leave. The whole point of this is what we've done in the past is they've ended up in a youth justice facility. They've just sat there till their sentence is over. We close the door behind them when they leave, and then they return like a revolving door because there's no support. So this is the end of the road, final choice to change their lives. And we're going to put everything we can in, and we owe it to the victims and the communities to do this, to make sure that when they are returning, that their communities are safe from harm. And that is my motivation, to make communities safer and to create less victims from these crimes.
And what's the progress so far? Have you had any reports of how those who are still there are doing? Are they making better choices in their life because of the discipline being imposed upon them, i.e. getting out of bed early in the morning and getting some exercise and some good nutrition?
Yeah, most of these young people probably haven't had structure and routine in their lives, so that's the beginning part of the process, just learning how to deal with structure and routine. I'm hearing positive feedback from Oranga Tamariki about how that is going, and I'm hearing that the only feedback that's really coming back from the young people is they want more physical activities. So that's a positive, that they are wanting to get out and do more physical activities and work together in that space. But so far, it seems really positive how they're taking hold of this opportunity because they know that support will be there for them.
So what's your target for success? Is it 100% not committing a crime again, getting a job and living a worthwhile life in the community? Is that the ultimate, and how achievable do you think that is?
Well, with the programs that we currently run, with the fast track program for younger children when they first come before the police to avoid going through the youth system, they've got about a 75% success rate, I think it is, where young people are not reoffending, and that's a pretty good success rate. But with these young people, that has not worked. So my sign of success is seeing these young people get back out in the community, getting a job, getting support from their family, having a safe place to go back to, and not reoffending is the biggest side of it. But I wouldn't put a number on it, because when I listen to people who have been through similar programs like the LSV, talking about how that turned their life around and how they are now successful in their own right in their lives, to me that's worth it. Just hearing the stories of success and being able to change their lives around. I'm pretty sure some may go back into their old ways, but if we can help over half of these young people to have an opportunity to not be that way, that's successful for me.
Because there will have to be a time when you'll have to address your critics again. Obviously, there was a huge pushback against these academies from the political left and from various people in academia, and I think even in the public service. Tremendous pushback against this idea along the lines of, they've never worked before, why should they work now? Are you really confident you can say to them in 3 months, in 6 months, I told you so, we were right, we knew what we were doing?
For me, it's not a told you so moment. For me, I just know we can't afford to not do this. These young people deserve to have a chance to turn their lives around. I don't want them just sitting in a youth justice facility waiting to go to prison, which is what has happened over the last few years. They just sit knowing that their fate is prison. They've got no hope. I think it's something we can't afford not to do. We need to give these young people hope, and we need to show them that there is a better way. I am willing to do that because it's the right thing to do, rather than letting them sit there like a holding pen just waiting to go to prison. These young people are very intelligent. They have suffered, a lot of them have suffered quite a bit in their young lives, and this is something that is the right thing to do, to give these young people the hope that they need to turn their lives around.
Kerry, can we talk about the abuse in care report, which came out recently? As you know, it was very damning. Is the New Zealand government, which you're a part of, are you going to put in place some regulations, some legislation, to ensure that what has happened in the past never happens again?
Yeah, so that report was a massive report done over quite a few years. And it's come back with a lot of recommendations that the government needs to sit down and have a conversation about which recommendations we can follow through on quickly, which ones might take a little bit longer. And that's conversations that we're currently having at the moment. I'm only a part of that process, because obviously that inquiry looked into multiple areas. It wasn't just abuse in state care, it was abuse under churches, education. So it was quite a wide-ranging look into abuse in New Zealand. Those stories are very traumatic. People should never have suffered the way they did reading through those stories. And we need to make sure that we pay that report the respect it deserves and have a real honest conversation as a government as to how we respond to that. Erica Stanford is responsible for leading that work, and we are working as quickly as we possibly can to kind of figure out what direction we're going to go there. The Lake Alice survivors. We have done a one-off payment to some of those survivors who are at end of life to make sure that they can use that money to help them in the time of need that they have right now, while we're still making decisions around that redress process.
Yeah, just as an aside, and it's sort of connected, but are you aware of this so-called academic research at Victoria University around destigmatizing paedophilia, or as they say, sexual attraction to children, destigmatizing those with a sexual attraction to children? It's a piece of research being done in the psychology department, I believe, at Victoria. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I think I saw something online about that the other day. I don't know much detail about that, but I'm not sure what exactly how far the research is going to go and what they're actually looking into. So it probably wouldn't be good for me to comment because I actually don't know fully what that is about.
Yeah, okay. I think it's probably, to be fair, a question for the Minister of Tertiary Education along the lines of what the heck is our taxpayer dollar doing funding something like this. Just finally, Karen, it was well known earlier this year that you as a minister had been subject to some pretty awful personal abuse, which came about because of your role as Minister for Children. Have you recovered from that abuse? Are you doing okay now as a politician? Have you developed a thicker skin as a consequence of what had happened and what was said to you?
Yeah, I think we're all human, right? We all have good days and bad days. And there's a lot going on within this portfolio space. And there was also a lot going on around the Royal Abuse and Care Inquiry. So there was a lot that was going on at the time. So we all have bad days. You just pick yourself up and you just dust yourself off and you wake up the next day with the mission to continue what you're trying to achieve. And for me, that is achieving a safer place in New Zealand for our young people. We have a terrible statistics when it comes to our young people being hurt or harmed with domestic violence. We have terrible statistics with death of our children at the hands of those who are supposed to love them. And my mission is to make sure that our young people can grow up safe, loved, and in an environment where they have a great future. So every morning I wake up and I tell myself that that's the mission of the day, just little things every day to make sure that our young people are safe.
Yes, and I think when I look back to the last Parliament, it was that line from Kelvin Davis, which was probably the worst instance of almost racial abuse in the House of Representatives that I've ever heard, when he said, you know, stop looking through a Pākehā lens. That was something I just could not believe. Are you fully in agreement with the Treaty Principles Bill then to make sure that we are all New Zealanders and that we are not ethnically divided?
No, I'm a firm believer of we all need to be judged on our character of who we are, and not boxed into categories based on characteristics we cannot change, how we were born and who we are. We should not be boxed into just because you are were born with these characteristics, this is the way you should behave. We're all individuals. We all should be treated with dignity and respect in this country. And everybody has the right to the equal rights and same rights in this country. And I think it's a conversation that needs to be had to make sure that we can move forward as a country with an understanding of how we should be treating each other.
Very good. I thank you for your time today here on RCR, Minister Karen Chua. Nice talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.